Hello and welcome to another edition of Pulse. My name is Anthony Patch, and today I'd like to spend just a few minutes discussing the provocations of Israel with regard to Iran. Israel, led by Netanyahu, has been pushing for a war with Iran. That's not anything new to this audience. But I wanted to point out a couple of recent developments that I believe truly are going to lead to a conflict between Israel and Iran. Before getting to those provocations, I also want to mention that I do not anticipate the United States to be involved in this war with Iran. Perhaps indirectly, in terms of, you know, military and financial support in terms of weapons systems, but not boots on the ground, not aircraft, not the launching of missiles from our naval vessels and that sort of thing. What I'm really anticipating is that this will be more of a behind-the-scenes logistical support, to put it in that frame of thinking, for Israel. I get there by looking at President Donald Trump. I have said in my most recent live streams that are available through anthonypatch.com, in my most recent live streams, I've been pointing out that President Trump is more interested in ending the war between Ukraine and Russia than he is supporting Israel. Again, connecting the dots there, it means that President Trump is more interested in trade relations with BRICS. This means, in the first instance, with regard to Russia and Ukraine, is that President Trump wants to bring about very rapidly, perhaps by the 9th of this month, which is Victory Day in Russia on May 9th, perhaps President Trump will announce a peace agreement between the United States and Russia, which then leaves Ukraine out in the cold in terms of U.S. support, and essentially would force Ukraine to surrender. It isn't so much that Russia is conquering Ukraine, as they have now taken and are going to continue occupying for the principal regions in the eastern portion of Ukraine, but Trump wants to get on not so much with peace for the sake of peace, but more peace for the sake of commerce. I really believe, and I'm not going to go into the details on this, I've done this in our live streams, but I do understand that Trump wants desperately to reveal that the United States is actually a member of BRICS. To get there, he needs to end the conflict with Ukraine. And also in BRICS, along with Russia, of course, is Iran. This brings us back to my first statement that I do not believe the United States directly is going to be engaged in a war, I won't even call it a conflict, but a war with Iran by supporting Netanyahu's provocations for war with Iran. Because in order to be granted membership in BRICS and to maintain membership in BRICS, a nation cannot be at war. Now, that isn't restricted to members, nations that are members of BRICS. That means a member of BRICS cannot be at war with any nation. They must be at peace when they seek membership and to maintain their membership in BRICS. Thus, if, in fact, on the 9th of May, or perhaps soon thereafter, President Trump reveals not only a peace agreement between the U.S. and Russia with respect to Ukraine, but also that the U.S. is in fact a member of BRICS, If you'd like the evidence to that, the background, it's a very long presentation. Go to anthonypatch.com. Join us as a member for our live streams. 3 times a week, 2 hours per live stream, 6 hours a week. We've done over 850 of those now. No, actually over 940 live streams since 2018. We also publish our monthly Entangled magazine, which covers from a biblical perspective, world events in science and technology. At any rate, Israel provoking Iran, how I get there in that side of the coin, looking at one side, which is the United States, now looking at the other side, which is Israel. Israel, over the weekend, Netanyahu has issued a draft order for thousands of Israeli IDF reservists, many of which, by estimates of 30 to 40% of those reservists that are being called up, they're calling it a draft, their draft notice, they're refusing to report. The reason for this call-up, cited by Netanyahu, was to end the conflict in Gaza once and for all. To remove, by whatever means, all Palestinian occupation of Gaza. Those are his words, not mine. I'm simply reporting. So this is a massive military operation about to be launched against Gaza, against the Palestinians in Gaza, which serves as one significant provocation with respect to Iran, because Iran, the leadership of Iran, has made it very clear that they view the Palestinians as their brothers and will come to their defense. Now, over the weekend, there was a hypersonic missile launched by the Houthis out of Yemen that struck a roadway just outside the Ben Gurion airport. This is in response to what now is pretty much accepted as fact that the Israeli Mossad were responsible for the explosions in the Badr Abbas port of Iran in the Persian Gulf. What was initially ignited were propellants for rockets and missiles. These were solid fuel rocket propellants in shipping containers that in 3 separate distinct locations were detonated nearly simultaneously, obviously an act of sabotage. The response by the Houthis against the Ben Gurion airport, which was the primary target, was in response to that. So of course there are the back and forths, which we have seen for years now. But let's go to not only Gaza as a provocation for a wider conflict directly with Iran, not just indirectly through its proxies, but now word coming out of Syria, specifically Damascus. Turkey, led by their prime minister, Erdogan, Turkey has been warning Israel not to attempt to occupy Syria. There's already been air attacks, air conflicts, I should say warnings. They have not actually shot at one another, but warnings between Israeli IDF Air Force jets, fighter jets, and Turkish fighter jets. Turkey is siding with the self-appointed leadership of Syria in opposition to Israel. On Israel's part, just before Bashar al-Assad, the former leader of Syria, left and was flown by Russia to Moscow for asylum, the IDF had watchover locations, forward operating bases in the Golan Heights overlooking Damascus. When Assad left, those forces moved down into the plains at the base of the Golan Heights, between the Golan and Damascus itself, and then approached Damascus within several kilometers and set up another forward operating base. Netanyahu has made it very clear that he wants to establish a buffer zone extending between Damascus and the southern border of Syria in order to provide protection to Israel. He has sought much the same goal with respect to southern Lebanon and the conflict with Hezbollah. Hezbollah is apparently, according to reports, being refinanced. That's the word they're using in the media, refinancing Hezbollah. So Turkey is trying to spread in the long-term goal, long-term vision of Erdogan is to reestablish the Ottoman Empire, the ancient Ottoman Empire, which of course is in conflict with the desires, the goals of the Zionist movement to reestablish the Promised Land, the Levant, the previous borders of the Levant, which extends into Syria. So the issue with Damascus, as I'm beginning to understand this, is that it appears that Turkey is going to move more and more forces, military forces, into Damascus and extend from Damascus then to the border of Israel. Clearly a provocation on the part of Israel. It appears to me, and this is from a biblical perspective, Damascus ceases to exist overnight, according to prophecy, in the last days, that this will occur because there will be a conflict between Israel, Turkey, and Iran. Because Turkey is also in support of Iran, while at the same time Turkey is still a member of NATO and considered an ally of the United States government. So it's a very mixed situation over there. But I do expect that when Israel attempts to deny military occupation by Turkey and Iranian forces of Damascus, that Israel, in an attempt to establish themselves in the southern portion, southern third of Syria, they will eliminate Damascus. That isn't going to happen overnight. Some of these things need to take place in terms of the movement of troops and aircraft and logistical support into Damascus. But nonetheless, this is what appears to be on the horizon. Tonight, I will be conducting another two-hour live stream, and I will do a deep dive into the articles from Al Jazeera, from Syria, from Turkey, and also from the Israeli perspectives on Damascus, the buildup of Turkey's military in Syria, north of Damascus and in Damascus itself. They're setting up an air base, what they refer to as the T4 air base. That's just north of Damascus. Concurrent with the activities of the IDF, calling up their reserves and attempting, according to Netanyahu, his goal, attempting to eliminate the Palestinian presence in Gaza. So, significant provocations by Israel targeting Iran, provoking Iran into a military conflict. And of course, Netanyahu, in his delusional mindset, in my estimation, delusional mindset, he thinks that if he can provoke Iran, then he will drag the United States into a direct military confrontation with Iran in support of Israel. I do not expect the United States to be drawn into this directly. Boots on the ground, aircraft in the skies, that sort of thing. There may be logistical support of what Israel wants to do, But President Trump wants to establish peace so that the United States can be legitimately recognized, even though behind the scenes, the BRICS organization has already granted membership for the United States in BRICS. But the formal announcement and solidification of that, if there is such a word, the confirmation, that's a better word, of the United States as a member can only take place when the United States is recognized by the world to be at peace with the world. That's how I get to the ending of the conflict in Ukraine and the denial of the United States in direct conflict with Iran. If that sounds of interest to you, you'd like to hear my sources of information and more of my vision, if you will, of, I'm not speaking prophetically, it's more of a strategic or tactical assessment of what is going on and what appears, logically speaking, to be on the horizon that's about to unfold. Please join us through anthonypatch.com. Support what we are researching and reporting on your behalf. You'll have access to all of our previous live streams, going all the way back to 2018. As I said, about 950 of them. You also have access to all of the back issues of Entangled magazine, which we've published since June of 2017. There is a wealth of information, if I can be so bold to say that, about what we produce, but my wife and I, Kathleen, we operate as a team, husband and wife team. We both do our research, and we, at times, she will join me in those live streams live. About three quarters of the time, it's just myself making presentations, very much like you see right here. We try to keep it factual in our reporting, avoiding all of the fear-mongering that you typically see in such venues as this, and the sensationalization of events and the disinformation. We vet our information rigorously, and we try to provide accurate and factual reporting that is useful to you in your everyday walk of life. So thank you for your time and attention. I look forward to meeting with you, and we do have personal phone calls and now Telegram conversations and meetings. That's also available. If you'd like a one-on-one conversation with Kathleen and myself, we make those available to you as well. So thank you for your time, and we'll speak with you again very soon.